This week on the Fifth Trooper podcast.
All right, so now that we've talked about something serious, let's talk about something less serious, tauntauns.
Welcome to the Fifth Trooper podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Fifth Trooper podcast, where we talk Star Wars Legion. My name is Jay Shalansky, and I am joined by two gentlemen that you all know.
And love.
Well,
or at least tolerate.
I don't know if they love you guys, but you know, they know you. Evan Bulris. Hey.
What's up?
And Nick Allen is back.
Hey.
So this seems to be a thing with you, huh? You're coming back. You've been missing it. You've been
crawling back.
I like podcasting.
Been jonesing. We were Evan and I told Evan you were coming, and he said, "Ah, oh, the prodigal son returns." And then I was thinking of that that episode of The Office where he's like, "The prodigal, my son returns." So yeah, so Nick's here, Evan's here, I'm here. Yippity day! So all right, first let's do a little housekeeping, my friends. Number one, I want to encourage you guys to spend your money. Not you two, but, you know, the audience.
Oh, good, because you know that doesn't work.
Yeah. No,
it works on me too well.
Yes, you make up for me. Yeah.
Today, we'll be talking about Evan's game addiction.
It's bad.
Fifth Trooper Shop's up. Actually, this week, while you're listening to this, I'm hoping that everything but the mats will be out of pre-order, and we'll just be selling them as normal. So if you pre-ordered any shirts or dice trays or bags or any of the propaganda or shirts or hoodies or any of that stuff, that's going to be mailing out, I'm hoping, worst case, by Monday. And then they'll be just regular orders. The mats, though, we're looking like the first week or second week in May before they come in. So, but good progress, and I should have the prototypes in this week. So I'll be taking pictures of those and sharing them with everyone.
Excellent.
Yeah. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, as you all know, we are live streaming Adepticon, and really encourage you guys to check that out. We'll be doing that on our YouTube channel, so go ahead, go subscribe there so that you'll be updated when we go live. I'm really excited about it. It's going to be very cool and different, I think, than most streaming events. And so please check that out. And if you're work for a company that wants to advertise on the stream, reach out to us, thefifthtrooperpodcast@gmail.com. And if you're just a listener and you want us to cover something or talk about something on the podcast or have a question, you can email us there as well, thefifthtrooperpodcast@gmail.com. But with that Adepticon thing, the people at Adepticon have asked me to let you know that if you are going to Adepticon, Evan,
yep,
and you are playing in the last chance qualifier, Evan,
yep,
your list is due by the 19th at midnight.
Already did.
Good. If you miss the deadline, you're going to get a foul, and then I think it's two fouls and you're dropped. And then they said if it's submitted by the 28th, which is Thursday, the day before, right?
Yep.
You're dropped. So if they don't have it on the day on the 28th, you're out.
I get it, right? Because he locks it in, and you can't like counterpick. You can't bring like two armies in and then just go, oh, everyone's playing Rebels, I'll play Empire, right? Like, you can't do that. On the same hand, like, I'm committed to what I am playing because I primed them and I will paint them, so that's just how it's going to be, whether or not I like it.
Yeah.
Dedication. I like it.
But
I think your list is good, though.
It's pretty good, but if I wanted to, like, you know, it's still, like, I don't get to play a whole lot, so I get to play, like, I prefer playing the game physically than to TTS if I can.
Yeah.
And I usually get like maybe one game a week, maybe once every 2 weeks a real game. So
sure.
I'm still never quite sure what I want to play, but I just committed to what I got and we're going with it and I entered it and we'll see.
I think it's a good list. I think it's a good idea. You went 2-0 at the tournament on Saturday. So
it's fun, man. It's good. It's just like a generic thing, but it works, right?
So, so get your lists in. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts with this one. And I think, you know, for those of you asking, like, why list so early? So not only do you have all this stuff, it's the last maximum firepower. They want to make sure they do it right.
Yep.
But also with us live streaming, like, I'm not playing, so I'm going to say this, but I'll have access to everybody's lists so that while we're doing the live stream, I can talk about matchups. And so I need those ahead of time. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on that a lot of moving parts with this.
So it's all about you, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
that's what it all comes around to.
It always is, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah,
it really is.
It really is all about Jay. Okay, so I'm gonna transition here into something I think is I've titled this segment "What the Hell Am I Doing Here?" So that should tell you. No, but what I wanted to talk about a little bit is failure. And I think this transitions not just to Legion, but into life. But I wanted to talk about it with Legion. And here. So I got this. I'm going to do some professional stuff here, and then we can talk normally. But basically, I got this off of, it was like WebMD or some, you know, professional website that I can't remember the name of. But they put this, I liked how they put this, because I feel like this goes along with how we game. But they said a failure is accompanied by a variety of emotions, embarrassment, anxiety, anger, sadness, and shame, to name a few. Those feelings are uncomfortable, and many people will do anything they can to escape feeling emotional discomfort. And the reason I'm saying that is because that resonated with me personally in respect, not just to life, but in respect to Legion, right? So early on when we were playing, and even when we were started the podcast, failure... I mean, how often did I lose? How often did I lose to Nick? How often did I lose to Evan? How many of these stupid tournaments did I go to and lose? So that really resonated with me. And like, one of the things I thought like was funny, like when we fail like that. So I was doing a lot of research for this topic. You know, one of the things that it said is, you know, one of the things we're tempted to do is to say, well, I didn't want that anyways. And so like, I'm kind of changing that to that. I didn't actually want to win anyways. Like, how many times have you told yourself that? How many times? I know I've told myself that a number of times. Well, I didn't bring a real list. Like, I just bought a playlist cause I was just fooling around. I'm just testing stuff. That's why I lost.
I always come to win. Even when I bring a fun list.
All right.
Like, I'm a tryhard.
No. Not when you come to play, but like, okay, yes, we all come to win, but after you lose, you have that kind of escape hatch of, I didn't bring a real list. I just brought a fake list.
No, I'm still really hard on myself.
Yeah.
I'm the same way with X-Wing anyway. Like, I'll bring 4 X-Wings. And if I won, I'm like, huh, I won with 4 X-Wings. If I lose, I'm like, well, it was 4 X-Wings. Right? Like, what are they going to do?
Yeah, and I think what that does is, so I was reading about this, and they said that by doing that, you're minimizing the pain, mm-hmm. and when you do that, it won't actually go away, that failure, because you can say that out loud to other people, and you can justify that out loud, but internally, you know what actually happened is you failed, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, you know, I think we need to find better ways to cope with the failure. Because I think what that's going to lead to, and I don't think this is your case, but you know, a lot of people end up quitting or not playing as much because of the early failures that they're finding.
Yeah. Cause failure wasn't why I stopped playing.
No.
Exhaustion was why I stopped.
Right. Playing. And I just wanted to point that out because, you know, Nick did quit for a while and he's starting to get back into it, but that's not why he quit. He was doing fine. And so,
oh no, I've dealt with a lot of failure in many, many other games, and I've figured out how to cope with it and what to do with it.
Right.
So,
yeah,
which
and
is what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, and like what I put on there was, I don't think quitting or playing as much, and like you got to stop taking jank lists. Like I did this. I'll be honest. When I went to PAX Unplugged, I hadn't really settled on a list. I was still like in between some stuff, and I just was like, you know what? I don't want to go there with what I consider a real list and fail. So I'm going to take double air speeders and go. And if I fail, it's double air speeders. No one expected me to win. But if I win, I'm a friggin' genius. Right? But if I lose, yeah, everyone just goes, yeah.
You covered both your bases.
Yeah, right? Yeah. But I think that if I really was to think deep about that and to like look into myself, I think that was a fear of failure. Like we were starting to pick up really big with the, not really big. That's a subjective term. Comparatively, we were picking up big with the podcast. People were listening. People were reaching out. People were excited to meet us at PAX. And I think maybe that inherently built a little fear into me as like,
you have to perform.
I have to be good now, yep. Right? I have this podcast. I have to be the best. I have to go to PAX and beat everyone and be number one otherwise, what am I doing this? Like, what is the podcast all about?
No, so no matter what, people will always put you on a target because you're Jay, right? You're Jay, the fifth trooper. Right?
Yeah.
Whether or not you want to be, like, people will say, hey, I beat him, or people will say, hey, I didn't. So it's your anxiety of it is not unfounded.
Right.
Right. It's real. It's people will target you. Not like they'll target you in Legion. Like,
they will specifically target me. Somebody at PAX said, oh, I knew you were coming to PAX, so I built a list to counter your list. Because I think I was talking about, what was I playing at the time? I don't think Pelp was out yet. Pelp wasn't legal. Yeah, I was playing a Vader list. He's like, I brought a list to counter your Vader list. I'm like, joke's on you. I brought two airspeakers.
Gotcha, sir. Yeah.
Well, to your point is that in order to have a podcast, in order to be a commentator, to be a name in the industry, you don't need to be the best.
Yeah.
You just need to be knowledgeable.
Yeah.
So when the haters come at you, you can drop knowledge on them.
I'm not even that knowledgeable.
Yes, you are.
No. Oh, gosh.
We get things wrong all the time.
Everybody gets things wrong all the time. But when somebody comes at you and you can defend why you did something, or you can explain why you did something, or you can shout out the rules.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it takes to be a commentator. You don't need to be the best person at the game. Right, you just need to be an expert.
Right, look at Tony Romo, right? Like, that's my new hero now that we're doing the Adepticon stream. I've been telling everybody I want to be Tony Romo. For those of you who don't know, Tony Romo used to be the quarterback for the Cowboys.
Oh, okay.
He never really won any Super Bowls or anything, but he was a really good quarterback, and now he's one of the best, I think, by watching him, and a lot of people I think would agree, he's one of the best broadcasters out there. And, like, I think it was in the Super Bowl and the games before it, he was, like, calling plays before they were happening. So, like, he would just see how the field was, and he'd be like, oh, yeah, they're going to do this, and he's going to throw to that guy. And then they did exactly what he called, and it was just, like, crazy. You know, everyone was like, oh, my God. So he's, like, one of the best commentators in the game now. So, anyways, you're right, like, to that point, right? You don't have to be the best. You just need to know.
So what you're talking about.
Right, what you're talking about.
So a Joe Rogan, if you will.
Yeah, right, with UFC. Right. Exactly, yeah.
I get this analogy.
But I heard, but I mean, if you look at Joe Rogan, right, he's got a couple of things he does really well. Like he used to be, what was it, kickboxing? Or what was it? What did he used to do?
I'm not sure. He does Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Now. Yeah, yeah. And like somebody said, one of the UFC fighters says he's got like one of the most powerful kicks that they've ever experienced.
Yeah.
So, but he has knowledge, and he's
been doing it forever. Right.
He's not a competitor on that level or a winner on that level, but he's knowledgeable enough to hold his own.
Yeah.
And so that's me. And, you know, I think when we see failure, when we experience failure, and I've done this, you know, you think, people, I think we in general think like when we fail, it means that we're bad and that maybe we'll never succeed because we keep failing over and over again. Or you think, in my case, what we just brought up, like no one will take you seriously because you continue to fail and lose and all this. And I think what it is, though, as I was thinking this through, this is something we always talk about in the business world is... And something like, it's funny because it's something I strive and am really happy about myself in my professional life is that I've always been able to put myself outside my comfort zone, and then I've been able to grow and like learn these new skill sets and be better at my job and be, you know, do all these other things. And I think the same thing here applies is if you're failing, it means you're outside your comfort zone, which means you're learning and growing. Which I think is a positive thing, right? But it doesn't feel positive in the moment.
Sure doesn't.
Well, the important thing is you said learning. It's like the only true failure from failing is if you don't learn anything.
Correct.
Because you should be able to, whatever game you're playing, see the points where you made mistakes and be able to learn for those and not do those again. This is why it's really important. Like if it's difficult for Legion, but if you can record your games and rewatch them, you will learn a lot. You will see where your mistakes are and you will learn from those and you will not make those mistakes again. And the same goes for winning. Like nobody ever plays a perfect game. You always make mistakes and you can do things better, even though you won. And it's important to notice that. So you don't get on this stream of like, I'm the best player because I keep winning. And then suddenly have this massive failure because all those mistakes catch up with you.
Yeah, and I think it's funny. I think this is all in all competitive stuff that I brought this up on Mythbusters. I I reject your reality and substitute my own type of thing. Yeah. Where I think you can be winning on a local level, right? Mm-hmm. Like any sports is like this too, where like you can be a divisional champ, but your division could just not be the level of competition that the rest of the league is at, right? Mm-hmm. So you could be winning locally in Podunk Town, you know, USA or Spain or Germany or wherever you're from. And Canada, we got a lot of Canadian listeners. Canada. Just want to point you guys out. Thanks for listening.
For being Podunk, gotcha.
Yeah, Podunk. For being Podunk. No, but you could be winning in your local group, but really, realistically, when you go to like a Maximum Firepower, you get annihilated because you've kind of just been looking at your own shadows, right? You're not actually testing yourself.
Which is going to be interesting when you and I start playing again.
Yeah.
And I'm way worse than you are, and I'm learning a ton from our play experiences, and you're learning nothing.
Yeah,
you might actually end up getting like worse.
No, we'll see. I mean, because so for those of you who don't know, when we first started the podcast, and I think we might have brought this up, but it was not even at all. Like Nick was just annihilating me, and I would have a game or two here where I would win, like here or there, but it started to even up right before you quit, I think.
Yes.
And then, yeah, I don't know. I don't know where we would be at today. That'd be interesting to find out.
It would be very interesting. We would probably be around equal, I imagine, because I've played a lot of games, so I have a lot of like inherent game theory and a way of thinking about games that makes it so that I can identify important points and I can see how a game should be played and where the weak points specifically in Legion, where the weak points in the army are and how to do things. But eventually, like, that only goes so far and you just have to keep playing, and if you stop playing, you just stop being good.
Well, yeah, and I would say, you know, and I think we've talked about this before, but practice is everything in anything you do, right? Mm-hmm. The more you practice, just the better. It just, things become second nature and aren't as difficult, right, to
decisions
accomplish.
Become easier.
Yeah, because you're making them, it's just a muscle memory at that point, right?
And then when you get to the tough decisions, you have that energy to make those decisions.
Yeah. So it would be interesting. Yeah. We'll have to get a match in because, I mean, I've played,
a lot.
Yeah, hundreds of games.
We're playing tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah.
If you actually still have the free time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I do. this week's really getting away from me. I just wanted to bring this up because I feel it all the time, but I'm a little bit insulated from it in the fact that I have a lot of people that, not, you know, you guys that I can talk to about it, but I also have like the scoundrels. Like we have our own little chat room that we're always talking on Discord, that we're always talking games and how we did and like critiquing each other's play and like our lists and stuff. And then, you know, other places. So I don't think it's as easy for some people, especially when you're failing. Like a lot of people don't want to accept that or admit to failing, right? And so one of the things I was thinking, like, this is going to sound a little hippy dippy, but like if you find yourself thinking that you're hopeless or that your Legion skill sets are hopeless or that you're not going to be able to turn it around, I think what you got to try to do, and I know it's not easy, but just something, is to just kind of reframe your thoughts a little bit and just remind yourself of more the reality of what's happening, right? Is that I think number one, you can handle failure. Like if you're alive and you're human at this point, you've probably failed on a number of occasions. So you clearly survived that, right? So you can handle it.
Or you denied it.
Or stop doing that if you're denying failure. But you got to think of, and this is something we've been trying to do with the podcast lately, and I think you've all noticed, is bring reality into this fake game, right? And that a lot of life lessons are applicable here in Legion as well. And so how did you get through other failures, right? I mean, if you're listening to the podcast, if you can afford Legion, you've done something right with your life at some point because you have some money and you're doing okay, right? I would imagine.
Hope so.
Right. And so how did you handle those failures, and understanding that you can handle failures, right? You're here. What can you learn from those failures? Like Nick said, recording your games is great, but going back, and this is something society has trouble in general, that I've found people in general, is taking ownership of mistakes and taking ownership and ownness of what you're not doing right, what your inadequacies are, and how can you either build those up or how can you work around them?
But without dwelling on them, because that is a hole that some people fall
into. Oh, yeah. No, you just got to accept them, right? Yes. And you accept them, and then you look at the positive. And I understand. Listen, there's a whole other topic about that, right, that we can get onto. But and we will someday. But, you know, right now I'm just talking about if you can handle taking ownership of your mistakes and your inadequacies in some areas, right? None of us are perfect. Like, I know for me personally, especially with Legion, I struggle with the maths, and I struggle with like the odds and stuff. And like, I don't do well with that. I'm not inherently a math person. Mm-hmm. I'm a creative. So I do well with spontaneity. And so I play to those strengths, right? So I built a 12 activation army that allows me a little bit of freedom of when I try to throw a unit at something too quick.
So, yeah, okay, let's take the grander thought and just wrap it back into Legion. Like, when you lose, the first thing I ask is, what do you think I did wrong? Like, where was my mistake that led me to this failure?
It's an important point. Get your opinions from other people, especially people who are better than you.
Correct. And sometimes it's just, like, in a game like this that doesn't really have a whole lot of dice modifiers, like your aim rerolls too, sometimes you just get diced, man. Like, mm-hmm. especially with the defense die being so critical. In other games, take like 40K or X-Wing, where there's a lot of mods, right? A lot of rerolls, a lot of ways to get around that. In Legion, there's really not. Like, you have your hardcover, which two, and you have a dodge, maybe, if you're Rebels. And if you're Imperial, you're just going for the blocks, right? Sometimes, man, like, I've had a 5 hits come into Boba Fett, I've rolled 5 blanks, he's dead. It just happens. Like, mm-hmm. So there can be times when someone asks for feedback, give them honest feedback. Don't go, oh, man, like, I don't know, like, you did good, like, because as much as I was just going on about dice, it's not always dice. Sometimes you made a mistake that got you out there. But also, on top of that, take the feedback, try it, change something up in your next game. And you can, in this game, again, this is kind of counterpointing what I just said, but it makes sense to me when I'm talking. You can make all the correct moves and still lose. Sometimes, like I said, like Boba Fett just dies. Like, or Vader just takes 8 hits, and that's it. And he shouldn't have. And you can talk about all the odds, and it shouldn't have, but it just happens. And
yeah, so, that changes. And so that's funny, because I have that in as one of my topics. I wrote that down, like, for later, but let's talk about it now. Like, what do you do when the dice fail you? Because... we had a tournament this weekend, and Evan and I were talking about this. I had two games where I was rolling red defense dice, and they were literally rolling blanks. But here's why. The first game it mattered, because so this was two separate days. So apologies. Let me explain this. It was two separate days. I was playing two separate lists. The first day, the list I was playing was more of an experimental list that I was trying out. I wanted to try out some new stuff. And I put myself in positions I shouldn't have put my units in. And then they were rolling blanks, which was wiping out units. And that felt real bad. The second time, I was playing my regular list, which I'm very comfortable with. And I know how to play the list. And I was rolling blanks, but I didn't put myself in bad positions. I had plan B, plan C. And actually, Scoundrels talked about this on their podcast, is what's your plan B, what's your plan C, what's your plan D, right? And so... that's kind of accepting responsibility, but not accepting blame. So when there's things that are outside of your control, like dice rolls, you're accepting responsibility in the fact that you're saying, okay, I have a backup plan for this. I knew that this mm-hmm. was a probability of happening. What's my next, what am I going to do about that? Versus saying, not accepting the responsibility, like, oh, it was just the dice, man. Like, nothing I could do today, just the dice.
If every game you play is the dice failed you, it is not the dice. If every time right. you lose every game and you go, man, my like, I enjoy playing Rebels because I have no, like, when I roll white defense die, I am happy if I get one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I just, we're at, when
no
you're,
expectations.
Yeah, when you're Imperial, you're like, oh, it's 50-50. And then when they come, when you roll 4 and they're all blank, you're like, oh, blah, you're like, oh my God, like... So it's, you flipped a coin 4 times and it was tails, right? Yeah. Like, it just, it happens, man. We're literally gambling. you if you think about it, like we go in, you pay like $10 to get in this tournament to try to get some cool stuff or even just win or get the thing, yeah. But you're gambling, right? Like, right. It's how it is. You roll those dice and gambling, the house generally wins. Luckily, this game is you're just playing against another guy who's got the same odds as you for the most part. You're not playing against a stacked, like, you know, I know all this other stuff. But, yeah, you're just like, a lot of it can just be straight like, man, I felt so bad in my second game. I played Michael.
Yeah.
He came down from Pennsylvania. Awesome guy. Comes out to our games.
Yeah.
And I'm just like rolling my Z6, and it was just like, actually, better example before I even get to that. I moved my Han up. It was in a doorway. Accidentally touched his Wookiees that were touching my guys who were in melee. And I go, oops, well, man, all right, I'm in melee. Like, I goofed. Like, I'm taking it. And Han's got Brawl, and I rolled crit hit, and I punched a Wookiee to death. And I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. Like, is it like that? Yeah. Should that have happened? Heck no. Right? That's like the way, you know, the opposite of what should have happened. And it, but it did, man. Like, and that's his Wookiee should not have died. Han should not have just won KO'd a Wookiee. And then I detonated a bomb to take the other Wookiee out with my guys. Like,
right.
But yeah, like, it's just that crazy stuff shouldn't happen statistically, but it just does once in a while. Yeah. Like, sometimes you see that Z6 guy roll like six crits and you're like, okay, you know, you roll your dice and roll blanks. You're like, well, nice knowing you guys. Or sometimes that one, when you walked up with Vader and you were fighting, this was a long time ago, Boba Fett, and you whacked him for six and you rolled 9 paint. Yeah. Right. Like, should that happen? No. Like, you know, statistically it should not happen, but it just does. Sometimes, man, like, the right things happen, and you just got to go like, well, dice, man. You know, like, it's what it is.
Yeah, and accepting that happened, but also you can't blame that, though, for your loss.
No.
Because, for instance, you know, my game, the second game where my dice just weren't, I won. I won that game because I put myself in a position where I wouldn't lose, and I knew what I was doing when I put these certain units, when I stretched them out, and I knew that, okay, that guy's going to, like, just coming to the fact that guy's going to get annihilated, but I need him as like a glass cannon. Like, I need somebody to like distract for a little while. Cannon fodder was the word I was looking for. I need someone to like distract him over there so that I can get the objective and make this happen over here. And understanding that I was going to lose him, you know, or severely get wounded over there. So I think there's this real balancing act. Like Nick, you were saying earlier, take the ownership. But don't take the, it's almost like blame is different from ownership. Like, ownership is saying, I made this mistake. This is what I could have done better. Where blame is like, I'm just a pile of crap. I'm terrible.
I'm never
going to
be good
at
this game.
Right.
Oh, man, I can't believe Chewie died. Well, he was out in the middle of nowhere, and Chewie has 1 out of 6 chance to block a hit, and 18 DLT shot into him. He's dead, man. Like, you know, like, that's what, when I first started using Chewie, I'm like, man, I can't believe he's dying. Like, he's got a lot of hit points. It doesn't when he just eats 5 each turn, right? Or a Han. I'm like, man, these rerolls aren't doing it for me. Yeah, it's 2 out of 6. Like, you get blank and it goes blank again. You're like, oh, well, all right, it happens.
Yeah, and to that, you know, I wrote this down too. So, like, you want to go over what you did wrong, right? You want to you wanna think about what you did wrong, but you don't want to ruminate on it where you just keep replaying it over and over and over and over again, because that's gonna cycle you down into this
spiral.
Yeah,
not if you're in the middle of a tournament. If you're in the middle of a tournament, you have to see that, recognize it, but you have to move on.
Yeah, and you just got to think about what you're going to do differently next time you walk into that same situation and try to come up with maybe a plan or an idea of how you could have mitigated that disaster, that mini disaster that happened, right?
You know, could it have been my army needs a bid, so I'm blue player, so I get to pick the terrain? Because if someone gets to pick the terrain, like, maybe, like, rebels really need terrain, and if you're not, like, some rebel armies don't care. Yours might, and if you let the other guy take the bid, and then you get put on the bad side of the board, you're like, geez, I'm going to get eaten by alive, like, trying to get up to where I need to get. Like, that's all, like, right, that's, maybe I could drop this upgrade and then make sure I'm in control of what side of the board I'm on. Stuff like that, right? Like,
yeah.
It's not a whole lot.
Further on your point is that your failure might not be in the way you play. It could be right in your list.
Yep.
It could be that this unit doesn't work, and it needs to go, and you need to be able to recognize that, because if a unit is underperforming game after game after game, it's time to rethink something.
Yeah, I think also turn zero, like, that's a popular term in this game, because turn zero is a big deal. And turn zero is when, let's say you are red, okay, just to your point, it may not even be that your list needs tweaking. It may be that your decision making on what objective, battlefield, mm-hmm. and conditions were picked. And maybe you had one idea in your head for what was good for your list, and you weren't really thinking about what's bad for their list, you yep. know?
Or a bad, like the turn zero bad placement.
Yeah.
Like you're like, as soon as a game starts after you get your guys in, you go, son of a gun. Like you see, like he's like, and all my snipers shoot into Leia and she's dead. And you're like, you know, it's just like, and you figure out the board, you're like, I knew. Like, all the stuff, like so many times if I lost a game because I'm like, man, I deployed poorly. I really got to pay attention to this. Or like, not always got Leia. He's probably got coordinated bombardment. I shouldn't have both my snipers.
Yeah.
Be able to be killed in one shot. You taught me that. Like,
right.
And, or sometimes you have Veers and you got maximum firepower, you're rolling their snipers and they block it all. And you're like, okay, well, this is how this game's
yeah,
going to go.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people fail in the fact that they have a plan for their army, right? Like you're like, okay, this is how my army plays. And then you come up against somebody and instead of playing against your opponent, you're still planning like your army and what your army should do. Mm-hmm. And then like, so like if I see Leia or I see Veers out, I don't pop my snipers are all out of line of sight if I can help it. Like I do not,
yeah.
I don't even care. I'm like, you know what? They may get one kill on turn one, but it's not worth them dying for. So I'm going to wait and I'll just wait until Leia or their snipers go first. And then I'll start springing traps on them. So it's just being able to adjust to your opponent too. But yeah, I think you got to look back. I think it's good to look back at your failures and adjust and, but not, yeah, not get stuck on them.
Yes.
Right.
And what you just said, Evan, where it's just like, well, I guess that's how this game is going to go. Yeah, you can't get stuck in there.
No.
One bad move, even on turn one, it's just like, don't get stuck in, like, this is how this game is going to go. It's like, no, that's how that move went. Now it's time to move on.
Yeah, I mean, I've lost really important pieces in first couple turns from a mistake I made and still won games, you know? Yeah, so sure. I think that's, this game has a lot of room for that. So you got to be,
because to get rid of that piece, they had to do something and use something, and that thing's not a factor anymore.
Yeah, and so it's less thinking about the mistake you just made in the immediate moment rather than and just moving on and going, oh, okay, I see what I did there. Let me file that away for after this game so I can come back to it and come up with a plan to not do that again, and then just moving on with the game, you mm-hmm. know?
So I think Evan, you go ahead. You're about to
talk. No, you're good.
I said, so what I think to, yeah, what were you going to say?
Come on, what were you going to say, buddy?
Don't worry about it.
Come on, buddy.
You guys, you just go. It's fine.
Well, I think the wrap up here is like, fail, identify your failure, make sure you acknowledge it and you learn from it, that if you have to write it down or whatever you need to do to make sure that you remember it and you can reflect on it later, don't dwell on it, and then adjust your play moving forward.
Sounds good. I like it.
We good? Everybody good?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, that was that.
Ba-dum-tsh.
All right. So now that we've talked about something serious, let's talk about something less serious. Tauntauns.
That does seem less serious, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's tauntauns.
Because they're freaking tauntauns. All right. Give me your hot takes. What do you think?
They seem really good.
So
they
like,
do a lot.
They do a lot. They seem like speeder bikes to me, where if you get them out, like if you get them out of place, they just die.
Yes, but the thing about them is the Tauntauns seem more guerrilla tactics because they have relentless. So you can move out in the open, shoot, move back into cover. They can reposition. They can move. They can pivot immediately. They can move again.
Oh, I think they're great. Don't get me wrong. I just like they're going to be the first time you're going to use them. They're going to get killed.
And yes.
Like, what happens?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then you got to be like, okay, well.
Oh, yeah. These aren't invincible.
Yeah. These are like speeder bikes to me. The first time I use them, like, oh, repulsor one, cover one, anywhere I am, I'm fine. They do have that. I do like how all the weapons in the game, I've been keeping the same dice. So, like, the DL-44 is still just two dice, Pierce 2.
Yeah.
Does it have Pierce 2?
No.
No Pierce. No.
So, it's a blast. It's the blaster pistol. So, two red.
It's not the DL?
It is. DL-44 blaster pistol.
Ah, okay. I guess it makes. Han and Luke are just more accurate with it, I guess.
Maybe Han has the scope on his because he has his the scope.
The scope he doesn't use, but right. I get it. Sure.
And it's Han.
Yeah, I get it. But two red, they keep the weapon profile. Maybe they're experimenting with just changing some keywords.
Yeah, that could be. Or keeping the same weapons in the game and just dialing them back for heroes versus nobodies, right?
Maybe there's hope for the DLT change.
Yeah, people are going to get stuck on that agile one. Oh, it gets a dodge token after it moves. It's just like, that means it's invincible, right?
Right.
No.
Here's 8 damage. Well, I'll dodge one. And it's dead.
The Relentless is neat. So after you perform a move action, you may perform a free attack action. That's the same thing as Vader.
That's like what I was saying. It's like very guerrilla tactics. You move out, you shoot, you move back.
Yeah, no, I think they're good. I think they're going to be fun. Plus, you get the... You literally can make a Hoth army now. You can make Echo Base. You've got the 1.4 cannons. You've got Tauntauns. You've got the next unit we'll talk about. Like it's, you can make a field an Echo Base army. And then with all the Imperial stuff out... You can field with General Veers, Snowtroopers, the E-Webs. You can make the Invading Force. So you can actually play the dream, right? Like what they were kind of what the game was advertised as was like you can play any battle in the cinematic universe. And like before this, man, I was trying to paint my army to look like Echo Base troopers, but they were the Endor guys. I'm like, this is gonna look weird, but it's what I want. Thank God they released these before I got too far because I just I'm like, all right, good. Like I just buy these guys and paint them white and call it good.
All right, so let's go. We'll go over. I'm gonna ride through the Tauntaun riders here. So it looks like 90 points. They have agile one, so that's after you perform a standard move. Standard is the key there. Standard move, gain 1 dodge token. They have relentless, so they can perform an attack afterwards. They have reposition, similar to the E-Web, where they can before or after you perform a move, you can perform a free pivot action. Sharpshooter 1. So they, you know, they reduce cover by 1, which is neat. Unhindered, so difficult terrain, they don't give a crap. They're just going to run through it. You ride with 2 of the Tauntauns, similar to the bikes.
Yep.
They have 4 health, 2
courage.
They roll white dice for defense, surge on both attack and defense. They surge to just hits. They have the... pistols we were just talking about, so it's 2 red, so it'd actually be 4 red.
Yes. Yep.
So maybe that's why they don't have the pierce, because that would be ridiculous.
Impact 4.
Yeah.
You're like, and that unit's just gone.
Yeah, and then they have horns and hand claws, 2 black and 1 white, which is actually 4 black and 2 white, if you think about it. Yep. If they're both, well...
If they both attack,
They would, because it's melee.
Correct, yeah, if they're both... Because
they ride as a unit.
Yeah, are these troopers or vehicles?
So they are called... Something trooper.
Okay, if they're a trooper, then they both get pulled in. If they're a vehicle, then no, they don't. It's just...
Right.
Zoom that in.
So... creature trooper.
Oh, okay. Unless creature gets a weird new word. Yeah. It's trooper, they do get pulled in.
But here's the interesting thing. They have something called Ram 1. I don't know what that is.
Well, so the article alludes to exactly what that is, and it sounds like knockback.
Ah, that would
which
be...
Which is huge.
It's pretty
cool. What you can do with that, you could run up to an enemy trooper in cover and you can knock him out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
You could just knock them off of an objective. You can just knock them away from an objective. It's just like you could do a lot with that.
You run out ram, run back into cover, and then the other team shoots them as they're out of cover.
And that's the other thing. It's a great way to get out of melee.
Yeah.
Like you can go into melee and immediately get out of it. I don't know what the conditions are for ram to actually knock back or what knock back one means. I assume it's a move 1.
Yeah,
if it's actually what cool, we think man. It is. But if you scroll through the article, it's below that picture there. And farther down. Aha, right here. Where it says, in fact, a full speed charge from a Tauntaun can be enough to send even the most hardened snowtroopers flying.
You're right. It'll probably be like a speed 1 move or something like that, I would think. That's really cool. And then it comes, so the one we can see 2 upgrade cards, Tenacity, which we already know what it is.
Yep.
But then Endurance. So at the end of the activation phase, you may remove 1 suppression token.
Yep. That was spoiled in Pathfinder. That was spoiled in something.
Yeah, but I don't think it's an... yeah, they have endurance, but they don't have it as an upgrade card, right? So that's...
Something spoiled that card before, because where I was getting my like my conspiracy theories about Tauntauns being in the game.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Maybe it's Death Troopers.
Yeah, because anything that they put in the picture has been in the game.
Yes.
And so I'm like, well, I was like, Tauntaun's got to be coming. Like, well, that's silly. They won't put Tauntauns in the game. That's... They were in the movie for like 5 minutes, and then I got Tauntaun.
Of course they did. Yeah. Of course they did.
Right.
How could you not?
Sorry, guys.
So that's them. The models are beautiful.
They look pretty cool.
I mean,
they look like the one looks like it's taking a leak.
Oh yeah, he's running.
He's mid run.
He's kind of running.
I understand.
I get it.
Yeah.
I hope they release a new sculpt for Luke. A Hoth Luke would be cool.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Like, they're doing the special sculpts for one for Star Wars Celebration for the Vader. But I'd be down just to rebuy a singleton, like, here's a Hoth Luke pre-order only kind of thing to see if the people want it. Like,
yeah, no offense to Fantasy Flight, but they can't even deliver their regular sculpts. They shouldn't be doing special ones right now.
That's what it is.
But Vader.
Yeah, that's nice. And then that just screws up the whole thing with because he's got an inch of rock underneath of him. So it's like, wait, can we add stuff now?
Can we jump over?
So he's cool. Like, he's awesome. Yeah. I want that sculpt. It looks great. Super cool. Tactically, it's not good, right? Like, because it's this game is true line of sight, right? It's not just my range really goes over, I can shoot it. So being higher up for Vader, who's a melee dude, is not good.
No.
So the new sculpt, Vader, if you bring it down, I'm going to be like, congratulations. You got this awesome model. That's great. But inside, I'm going to be like, perfect. Like, where's Vader going? He better be hiding behind a building, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would just not even put... I would just put him on a base, right? Screw the rock, because his figure is nice.
Yeah, it's just all cool. I mean, it's just cool, dude. Like, if I see it on the board, I might not... If I had it, I might not even care. I'm like, yeah, shoot him. I don't... Whatever. Look at this thing. Like...
All right. So, now we got the veterans. The Rebel Veterans. These are cool. The name is weird.
Rebel Veterans?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, they're like in Empire Strikes Back, right? They're like the guys who've been fighting. Like, if you're still alive as a rebel, if you make it through one battle, you're a veteran. Congratulations. Yeah. Right? Like, so it's...
Well, in the article, they explain these are actually military guys, where most of the rebels are just random farmers.
Somebody here read the article. It's good, too, because I didn't.
Normally, I just skim through the cards.
I just go,
So basically,
that's
they're
nice.
they're military veterans from former wars.
Gotcha.
Ah. That makes way more sense. All right. Mm-hmm. Look at you reading cards. All right. Good job. Articles, cards. You get the whole package. Good thing we brought Nick on.
Yeah. Just don't expect me to read the Imperial ones. I don't care as much.
Right. Okay. So the Rebel Veterans, they're a core unit. They have four in there. They got one health, one courage. They surge on both attack and defense, surge to just a regular hit. They have the blaster rifles. Those are the same ones that they all have. So it's 1-3, 1 black. They fight at 1 black. They have coordinate and placement trooper. After you are something.
When you give them an order token, you can give an order to another placement unit at range one.
At range one, right. Which is probably that gun.
The gun that comes with it, or the
1.4 cannon.
Yeah. And then they have defend one after you are
issued an order.
Gain 1 dodge token. Interesting.
Yes. They're pretty good. I mean, the fact that they're 8 points more, but they get to surge on attack is almost worth it for me.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I could field a group of these without a heavy weapons guy and just be like, they're okay. Like 5 of them, like they surge. They'll hit more often than normal troopers.
And though nimble is better in a vacuum because you can keep generating dodge tokens, this is a guaranteed dodge token when you want it.
Yeah.
Or if you're using like Luke with I don't remember the name of the card, you would be giving them 2 dodge tokens when you give them an order?
Oh, the Force is my ally, I think. Or my ally is the Force.
I think so.
Son of Skywalker, the ally is my Force, Return of Jedi. Those are the 3 cards.
It's the 2-pip.
Okay. It's the one who's got the sword, and he's like, what?
Well, so the interesting thing I see here is depending on, we don't know how much the CMD 93 trooper upgrade is, right? But they look about 48 points would put them right at the same price as snow troopers, and the fleet troopers. So the fact that you get a dodge after you're issued an order, I mean, why wouldn't you just use these guys, depending on what the upgrade is?
Because they don't
is.
Get it if you just pull it out of the bag, right? It has to be issued from the command card.
Yeah, that's true.
So they...
But it's still good.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying, like,
especially with that, what do you guys have? What's your 3-pip there? The generic card that gives you...
Covering
the,
fire?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's good. I think if you... These guys, well, as Rebel Troopers, this normal core unit, you can put them up somewhere, give them a dodge, end your turn, and they can get shot at for almost ever, right?
Yeah.
And still hang out. Where these are like a good, I look at them as like a backline guy almost. So you want to hold position that's getting assaulted. These are the guys you want there, because you're like, before, let's say you do the covering fire. Well, that's 3-pip, and they do a 1-pip, and they're going to try to just evaporate, because mm-hmm. they'll evaporate a group of normal Rebel Troopers mm-hmm. because they won't have their dodge going yet. Where these they do, right? They get it, and like at least it's one less they take. They're better defensively, I think. Well, because you can just drop that order token on them when you're issuing orders,
yeah,
and be like, well, at least I'll lose one less this turn on these guys.
Yeah, and then that upgrade, their heavy upgrade. It looks like it's a 1-3 potentially. It looks like 3 white dice,
at least
3 white dice, and then something called critical 2.
Yeah. Yep. So I think this unit all depends on what that unit is and what he does, because you're not necessarily going to want multiples of this emplacement weapon.
Yes.
Depending on exactly how it works. So if we were talking about this earlier, if the CMD-93 is an activate, which we know it hasn't been great for competitive play so far.
Tap to.
Yeah. Then you might only be playing one, maybe two. And sticking with the Z6s for the consistency and the always being able to fire it.
Yeah.
But it just depends on how that weapon works out.
Yeah, and what that actually says is it, you know, your surges can crit up to 2, or you can convert 2 of your hits into crits.
Yeah, like, whatever. I mean, mm-hmm. it could be anything, right? Like, it's, well, it could be even a boat, right? Like, it's, we have most of the words are covered, so. Yeah.
And then we don't know what that emplacement trooper is at all. Because we don't know if it's, it looks like it's about 30 something points, but I don't, you know, I can't tell. We don't know if it's a core troop or if it's support. We don't know.
Yeah, my bet's probably a support.
That seems nuts, though. Why would you put that in the same box?
Because that would give you a support for, like, that keeps consistency with supports being guns.
Oh, yeah,
right?
That's
like
fair.
1.4 is a support. Like, you should have tough choices when building a list. Because right now, what is there for support for Rebels? The gun, the ATRT.
Yeah, and then the Tauntauns.
And the Tauntauns will be coming. Tauntauns seem like, if I had to just pick one in a vacuum, Tauntauns, 100%. After, like, right, like, seriously, yeah. ATRTs just get annihilated.
Yeah.
Like, Michael had one, and I'm like, oh, I don't hardly have an anti-weapon guy. Who cares? You just roll crits. Like, you know, it's just like, I'm like, armor means nothing. You know, yeah. So just like, man, I'm just annihilating this thing.
Well, I'm really curious to see how that weapon interacts with this unit of troopers, because you have the ability that's on the trooper, but does the weapon get some sort of ability as well?
It could, yeah.
But the bottom line is, it's nice to have another option for troopers. Yeah. I personally hate fleet troopers.
I love them. Oh my
gosh. I hate
gosh.
Fleet troopers.
They're just such variants. Like, everyone says Z6 are variance monsters. No way, man. They don't surge. When you roll up with fleets... And so I'll go into a rant about Pierce here, how it's a mechanic that's needed, but it's also a feels bad mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
So you need Pierce in the game, so things die. Because otherwise, sometimes you'll be shooting at Imperials and behind a wall, and they are just not going. Like, you sometimes they roll hot. You know, it's like block, 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 and you're like throwing and throwing and throwing, and I can't kill them. With Z6s with a scattergun, you can at least guarantee one dies. Doesn't seem like a big deal, but how many times have you... Throwing 3 hits, they roll 2, like 3 blocks. You're like, all right. Well, at least if you got that one,
right,
it picks them down. So I'm all in on fleets. I don't ever use their steady. They're because it's so situational. Maybe if, like, I had a point where I knew I wasn't going to get shot. Because if you shoot at a guy, give him suppression, they lose their overwatch or
standby.
Yeah. Anyway, but no, I think they're just nuts, because you'll be throwing... With 4 of them and a scattergun, that's 10 dice. 2 red, 8 white.
Yeah, standby is tricky. You know, I use it a lot because my 12 activation list that I took to Vegas and stuff. Yeah, I do it with the EWEBs a lot because, well, you have to.
Yeah,
that's what they're for.
But then once in a while, I'll find myself doing standby, like, if I'm behind some, like, line of sight covering stuff and I know that the only way they're going to be able to, they're going to have to come around the corner to get to me, then I'll do some standby stuff. You know what I mean? But yeah, standby is a very...
It's super situational.
Situational, yeah.
And if you've got the terrain for it, it's good. If you've got a lot of open terrain, unless you're something special, right, that can abuse it, it's all right. But maybe with giving fleets the Sentinel upgrade where you get one to three. Oh, well, it wouldn't matter. They only shoot two anyway. Never mind.
I was going to say, the rough part about fleet troopers is their range is one to two. That's rough.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I do like the change where any action makes that possible. And if they get shot, they lose, you know, they lose their standby. Yeah. Like, it's just a tricky wicket.
I also like fleets because you have to kill them. It's not like with rebel troopers or storms. Like, I can kind of like same thing with snow troopers. You have to kill them.
Yeah.
You cannot let them get close to you. Like, storms, you can take the gamble.
Yeah.
Like, but as soon as snows come up with a flamethrower, that's bad.
Yeah. And snows are funny. I don't know why, but it seems a lot of people have trouble gauging how fast they can actually get to you to that range one, you know? Yeah.
It's steady. Steady puts it over the top.
Yeah. It's a lot quicker than
it wouldn't be a big deal.
But yeah. How you feeling about your list, man?
I like it. It's what I own, so it's what I'm playing. Right? Like, it's so what I mean.
Okay,
by that
but
is
you've
like,
gotten how many games now under your belt with that list?
A bunch. I like it. There's still like my last 90 points. Like, I've got a unit in now, which has been fun. I don't know if it's gonna be great. I don't want to say too much over the cast, just because I want to. You know,
we got a tournament coming in.
Yeah,
to come.
You know,
I get it.
And if you've messaged me singularly, I'll probably talk to you about it. I'm not that. But I'm feeling pretty good. Like, there's a 90 points, which I wish I had a better option for. Like, if I could make a list that was Han and just six fleet troopers, if I own six fleets, I'd be so in. Holy cow, are you kidding me? It's just like a mad rush down the field. Like, you just take a long march, throw it out, take a deep bid, and just push all those guys toward them.
Try to murder
90
ever.
Points, that's a naked Tauntaun right there.
Dude, it is. So some of those Tauntauns come, man, maybe. I'm messing around with a couple ideas I think are interesting that aren't expected. But I like it. I'm feeling good. Like, it just feels good. Like, averagely good. Like, it's like I can handle most things. Like, most lists. I'm running a high activation. I'm not worried about too much. I won't get out-activated too easily. And if I do, you're probably stretching thin yourself. Like, most objectives I can deal with. I have my deck built a certain way, and if I don't like a unit, I've got my point unit. I can switch them out.
Yep.
Just in case. I've already submitted the list. I can't anymore, but I could have swapped it out for something else. I felt like it. Like, it's generically good.
Yeah. Well, we'll get you. You and I gotta get a game in this week. We'll get you.
Yeah.
Some...
For our. Oh. Well. Real quick. Let's talk about
something annoying.
Yeah. So. Speaking of failure, we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah,
but I have no idea what's happening. Right
so
now.
We played
Saturday.
Yeah, we played a tournament, just a local thing. It was two rounds because there's five people, and we had a bye. Jay got the bye.
Yep.
I played the first game. I won.
Yep.
I played the second game and I won. And he played his second, his first real game after the bye. Won the machine. As how it works is buys are worth more than my win, and it put him as first.
Mm-hmm.
And how that worked is because I got paired down.
Yeah.
So that's it, just randomly paired me down. Well, actually, my win wasn't as worth much as the buy. So it paired me down. He got the guy who won. I got the guy who lost the first game. So it didn't really matter if I won or lost at that point. I wasn't getting first. Right. Because just how, unless he lost two, it'd been weird. But anyway, because he won, I came in second. And that's how it works. Right. It feels bad. Because I played two games and I won, and I got paired down where he got paired up.
I think if I lost and you won, you would have had first.
I think so.
Yeah.
And that just feels bad. That's strength of schedule, though, right? Like, it just happens. It kind of got you at LVO, right? Like, you you were a 14th, but you were within a line of other 3-1s, right? Like, it's not like you were the only guy, and then that's kind of a bummer. So the other way to do it is MOV, right, where you count what you killed plus your victory, and the MOV is what the tiebreaker is. The problem with that is you run into situations where you play the game's different if you do that for tiebreakers. Like, I've got one guy left and he's just running. Right? You're running him to save MOV. You're not running, because even if you lose and you have high MOV, that's good. So it's, you can play more aggressively without MOV, because you're not looking to like keep a unit. You keep a unit around because that's how you win, right? Like, you have units on the board, that's how you win. But you don't run and hide to save points in the end, right?
So I would argue that from this perspective, the way my list runs is I'm generally blue player, and I'm generally putting myself in a scenario of intercept the transmissions or the sabotage the moisture evaporators, where I'm relying on the tie, so then I can, and then I get MOV so that I win. Because
that's right. Another different way to play, right? But what happens with strength of schedule is you can get unlucky, and the first guy you play just has a bad day and he loses.
Yeah.
Right? And that screws you, right? Because when it comes to these tiebreakers, and it's not anyone's fault. Right. And I don't like some of the attitudes it can breed with, like, dude, you got to win. You got to, you know, like, you're hurting me. Like, talking about failure, dude, if you want this guy to keep winning and you win, be like, hey, man, you know, why'd you move your unit out here when you did? Like, try to give him some constructive advice, because maybe he'll win. Right? Like, you know, it's not, and it's not being greedy that way. It's, you're helping this, you know. If you're like, hey, you know, when I activated my Han, you know, why didn't you run? Why did you let me get those two shots? And he could be like, well, I was trying to do this other maneuver. I'm like, okay, you know, like, but like, try to give constructive feedback, be in the positive voice in the environment. Because if you want your guy who lost to win, so it helps you in the strength of schedule, like, maybe that's what it is, right? Just being a, be positive about it. And if they lose, be like, hey, man, sorry. You know, like, that stinks, but don't make the guy feel bad about it.
Right.
Like, that's real crappy to do. Because the guy's already probably feeling bad because he just went 0-3 or something, right? Like, but that's strength of schedule and MOV, and they're two different ways to play. And you and I are going to have a game this week just to see who's, like, really, really won, right, that game.
Who is the master? But who is the apprentice?
It just felt real bad because I won the event in Buffalo a while ago.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I think it just shook out real weird. Like, I don't think I particularly played. You know, like, I think just things happened. I don't think I couldn't tell you how I won. Right. I was just playing the game and it just kind of turned out that way.
Yeah.
Like, in this game, I was really, because I understand the game a whole lot more now than I did way back when that Buffalo game happened. And so, like, I could tell you, I'm like, well, I only lost one unit in this game and one unit in that game. So if I was playing MOV, I'd keep it high. Like, right, like, there's more thought in my head about how, like, well, I've got one sniper out, one hidden. I was really, really playing, right? And so to still lose, even though I won both, right? Like, to go undefeated and still say, like, you're second. Like, well, that
yeah, kind of stinks. And I was thinking the opposite side of this, because it's like, from a buy perspective, it's like, listen, man, I played my money. I came here to play.
Yep.
I got to buy. Like, I shouldn't. I agree with you that whoever played and won probably should be valued a little bit higher, but at the same time, it's like, I didn't do anything to get the buy. It just shook out that way. Why do I get punished?
No, sure. And I get, like, again, there's no real great way to do it.
Yeah.
Right? Because
the great way to do it would have been to play another round.
Yeah. But at that point, it'd been like 6 hours or something, and we're like, I was ready to go. It's been a long day, just as a casual thing. But yeah, that is the correct way to do it, but sometimes you can't.
No, I agree.
Right? And it's just like, you just go by the machine, like, well, the computer says I lose.
Right. For instance, like LVO, that was 4 rounds, and it just shook out the way it shook out, right?
And it's just what it is.
Is what it, right. And I mean, really, the reality is I should have won. That would have, instead of losing my first match, even though I think he was sixth place or whatever, like, I should have won my first match, and then that would have, I wouldn't have had to worry about that anymore, right? But
yeah. Well, then a whole different situation pans out.
Oh, sure. I would have been paired up.
Yeah. You know, it's a whole thing, right? So strength of schedule can feel real bad.
Yeah.
And there's not a whole lot to do other than either do that or MOV.
Right.
And then an MOV changes the game.
Yep.
Right? It's not, because there's things like strategies in X-Wing where you just take a ship that's high point and you just leave. You don't play anymore. You start running because that's how you win.
Right.
And would you want the game to be more like that? Or would you want, like, right?
Nah, I think it's fine the way it is.
There's just a lot of different right? It's just you take one of the two evils. Which one?
I don't think there's an answer. And, you know, like a lot of the 40K guys would tell you, well, they do it based on points, but I don't think it works for Legion that way, right? I don't think it's the same. It's a different game. So I think it's fine the way it works. It's just maybe there's a better way out there somewhere, but we just haven't found it yet.
I agree.
I don't think traditional avenues is going
to
do it.
I think points could work. It's just you have to go in. Everybody playing the tournament has to understand that we're playing it like this.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to spring on somebody like, I could lose everything but pawn.
Yeah, but you know what? We were, I forgot who it was or why it was or what happened, but we did a tournament early on before we really understood and before we were doing strength of schedule where we did points based. And I think somebody who had won two and somebody who had a buy and a win had more points, and the buy gave them more points than what the other person had gotten in points.
So buys are just terrible and never work out like the way anyone wants them to. Like in Magic, what's two wins? Just straight two wins, I think, when you get a buy.
Yeah, it's 2-0.
And so like that's really good. That's like the best you can get, right? So it's going in, if you get the buy, you're like jackpot.
Yep.
Right? It's like, cool, I got a buy. Right. You don't want to be punished the dude getting the buy, but also you don't want to make it too good because when you shouldn't be super jazzed to get a buy, right? Like oh man,
I'm usually disappointed because then I don't get to play.
True.
And I came to play.
And I came to Agreed. Play, dang it.
Yeah.
But, you know, depends on how well you want to do.
Yeah, it's interesting. All right. Well, we got a, are you going Saturday?
Yeah, I'll okay.
So we're going to be in Rochester for anybody in the area who wants to come play. I know a bunch of the Buffalo guys are coming out. Rochester guys are going to be there. Anybody else? We'll be in Rochester Millennium Games on Saturday for the tournament.
It's Millennium Games, man. It's a cool place to
be. It is a really cool place. If you are in the area or if you're ever traveling in the area, Rochester out, yeah. Millennium Games, really cool store. Really cool store. So anything else, boys?
Almost that.
Good for me.
All right, that's going to do it for us this week. Join us next week.
Stay rad.
Take it easy, everybody.
Join us next week for another edition of the Fifth Trooper Podcast.
This has been a Fifth Trooper production.